At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker. Our first speaker is going to be speaking on the topic, Sick as Our Secrets. And her name is Carissa. She is from the Tri-County area. Carissa is somebody I met in the rooms through a lot of my friends down in the Maryland area. I'm from the Philadelphia area, but I always see Carissa at conventions when I come down here. I see her at meetings when I come down in this area. She's involved with this program, and I'm looking forward to hearing what she has to say because I don't believe I ever had a chance to hear her share. So please help me welcome Carissa.
Oh my God, there's a lot of people here. Which one am I supposed to talk into? Does it matter?
This? That one. Yeah.
The silver one? Okay. I'm an addict named Carissa. I'm extremely, extremely nervous. I don't even know where to begin, honestly. My clean date's October 29th, 2005. My home group is cover to cover on Monday nights in St. Mary's County. We read the basic text cover to cover, from the preface all the way through the stories. And so I like to say that the only thing I've done perfectly in the past 7 years is just not use. Right? And so like I'm not a circuit speaker. Like I'm not here to like perform, and I'm probably gonna mess up a lot, and but like I've been to like some workshops and I've been like, and like people come up and they got like notes and like index cards and they're like flipping through the literature and shit, and I'm like, oh, was I supposed to do that? And I don't know. So the research that I did is I looked up the definition of sick and secrets. Right? So the definition of sick is, there's three. One is afflicted with ill health or disease. Ailing. Two, affected with nausea. That's how I'm feeling right now. Inclined to vomit. And the third one is deeply affected with some unpleasant feeling, as of sorrow, disgust, or boredom. Right? So that's sick. And then secrets. I'm waiting for it to load. Is done, made, or conducted without the knowledge of others, kept from the knowledge of any but the initiated or the privileged, or faithful or cautious in keeping confidential matters confidential. Closed mouth. Right? So I was trying to figure out like how I could tie this in. Like, I use drugs. So that's basically all I'm going to say about that. You know? Like, I used drugs. I started using when I was 16 years old. I started using a physical substance at the age of 16, and it progressed. And I tried one drug, and then I replaced it with the next. I tried moving to Florida. I tried having a kid. You know, I tried the school thing. I tried him. I tried her. None of it worked. And so when I got here, like, I had a hard time identifying in, right? Like, I was the addict that still had a job, still had a car, still had a house. My daughter hadn't been taken from me. My bills were all paid. I didn't pay them, but somebody was paying them. You know, so, like, I didn't smoke crack. I didn't shoot dope. So, like, I identified out a lot. And I thought, like, I wasn't as bad as you people. And it wasn't until, like, I heard somebody share in a meeting that didn't talk about the drugs, but they talked about the feelings, right? And so, like, they talked about that feeling of desperation. Our literature talks about that gift of desperation that brought us into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. So I heard people talking about that feeling of desperation, that feeling of hopelessness and helplessness and, like, wanting to die on a regular basis. And, like, so that's how I felt. And so, like, when I got connected with the feelings, then I thought, maybe, just maybe, this is where I belonged. And so, like, the way I was able to identify in was that at the age of 13, before ever putting a substance in me, I was in the bathroom slitting my wrists. And so, like, I have a 9-year-old daughter now, and the thought of her locking herself in a bathroom with a razor blade to her arm makes me sick. You know, that feeling that there's no other way out. You know, so I was thinking about, like, secrets and, like, if I had any. And somebody suggested that I just pass out my 4-step and have you guys review that. And then, I don't know what it is, but I know that when I first got here, the one thing that I grasped onto is that, like, you need to go to meetings and you need to share about what's going on with you, right? And so, like, I shared about what was going on with me. So, honestly, like, I don't have too many secrets that people don't know about. I've had sponsors that have chose to share my step work with people, you know, so they know my secrets. And, you know, but I was thinking about, like, prior, like, to using and being molested by my brother, like, when I was in the 5th grade, and, like, thinking there was something wrong with me, and so, like, I couldn't tell my mom, right? And holding that in, like, for a year or so, and when I told her, she questioned whether or not I was telling the truth and called him on the phone to ask him if it was true or not, right? Being abused by my stepmom from kindergarten to the 3rd grade and not being fed and being put to bed early and being beaten and neglected and telling my mom after watching a movie on TV that that's what my stepmom does to me. And when my father was confronted, he said, you know what, she needs to come and live with you because she's causing too many problems in my family. Right? So, like, these secrets that I had, like, growing up, feeling like, well, I can't talk about, like, what's really going on with me because when I do, nobody believes me anyway. Right? And so, despite all that, like, and I don't blame any of that for, like, me becoming an addict, right? Like, I know plenty of people have been through a lot worse and, like, knew how to deal with life on life's terms. There was something inside of me that was incapable with dealing with those things. And, like, at that time, drugs weren't the problem. They were the solution, you know? And so, like, my parents did the best that they could. You know, they did the best that they could with what they had. And for a long time, like, I resented them. And but, you know, I got past that. And so, like, when I came here, like I said, like, I was told to, like, share about what's going on with you. You know, and so I did that. You know, like, one of the biggest things in the 2nd step, it talks about, like, once we stop using drugs or anything to replace them, like, we're left with this void. And we need to fill that void with a higher power. And so it took me 7 years to become willing to possibly try to fill that void with a higher power. And because of that, I caused, like, a lot of pain for myself. You know, when I got here, I wanted to use anything and everything I could besides drugs to get outside of me. I will tell you this, you can't fill a God-shaped hole with a dick. You know? And so, like, so that's what I tried to do. Like, there was something inside of me that never felt loved, never felt accepted, like, just wanting to be a part of and just wanted just a little bit of attention, right? And so, like, I didn't care who I got that attention from, you know? And I thought that, like, if I did this good enough, right, then maybe, just maybe, like, you'd want to be my boyfriend, right? Maybe, just maybe, like, you would love me or tell me I was pretty, you know? And so, like, that's what I did when I got here. But the thing was, is, like, I didn't just have sex with, like, random dudes. Like, I had, like, sex with, like, dudes that were in relationships, you know? And so I would come into meetings and I would share about it, right? Because, like, that's what they told me to do. Like, you're as sick as your secrets. So you got to share about it to, like, free yourself, right? I wasn't saying no names, but I was like I would come into meetings and I would share about, like, areas that I was struggling in and, like, how I didn't know how to stop, you know? And I would address it in my step work and I would call my sponsor and I would say, like, I just don't know how to stop. And so, they, like I said, they would tell you you're as sick as your secret, so you need to share about it. And so, like, and I would. And one of the things that I learned this year is one that not everything's for a meeting. And I also learned that, like, not everybody has my best interest at heart. I'm grateful that, like, through my process and through all my flaws and mistakes, that I have, like, a handful of women that have stuck by me, like, never judged me, loved me unconditionally, but, like, they didn't tell me it was okay either. And so, like, I had to learn. Like, I had to learn, like, who I could trust. Like, because I knew, like, I had to get it out. You know, like, I knew there were other things that I struggled with. You know, like, April of last year, it was April 21st, was the last time that I cut myself. I struggled with self-mutilation, right? So, like, it's been almost a year since I've done that. Not everybody gets it. So, like, people hear you talk about it and they think, like, oh, my God, she's trying to kill herself. And, like, that's not the case, you know? And so, like, but I needed to, like, talk about these things. Like, I needed to talk about the fact that, like, even though I have X amount of time and I've worked X amount of steps and I've had X amount of service positions, that, like, there are days that I wake up and I hate myself and I look in the mirror and, like, and I compare out and I wish, like, I was the young, skinny newcomer that's coming around, right? And that, like, I'm getting old in here. I'm old. And, you know what I'm saying? And that, like, there's still a part of me that just hates myself and, like, just can't stand looking at myself in the mirror, right? That struggles with self-image and self-acceptance and, like, and so, like, I need to talk about these things, right? But, like, if I can't share it in a meeting, like, what am I supposed to do? And so, like, I would share these things in a meeting and people would go and tell people and it would be on Facebook and, like, sponsors would tell, like, my step work and, you know, these things would happen. And I can tell you through this process, I never once turned my back on Narcotics Anonymous. One disease, one program. I don't need to go to any other A to get no help. And I've learned that, like, thank God there's, like, meetings outside of the Tri-County area, you know? And so, like, if I'm feeling some kind of way, because there was a time that I wasn't feeling safe, you know, there was a time that I was feeling vulnerable and I wasn't feeling safe in my area and I didn't know who to trust. Like, even my closest network, I, like, closed up for a little while because I didn't know who I could trust. And so, like, thank God for service because that, like, forced me to get outside of the area and meet new people. And, like, I learned that there's, like, meetings in D.C. and South Potomac and Central Maryland and Montgomery and in Virginia. And, like, that, like, just because my little feelings get hurt, like, doesn't mean that I got to stop going to meetings. There's other meetings, right? I also learned, like, some acceptance through the process. I learned that, like, all of you are human just like me, right? And, like, and what do I expect? Because you guys are a bunch of sick motherfuckers just like me, right? So, like, what do I expect? Like, I really expect you guys to keep a secret. You know, because, like, I'll be the first one to tell you. Whenever anybody tells me anything, I'm on the phone with my best friend. You know? And And so, like, I've had to learn, like, who I can trust, who I can talk to, what I can share, because I know that it needs to be shared. Like, I know that in order for me to get some freedom, it needs to be released. You know, I'm grateful that I was able to stay clean through all of that. Jesus Christ, that's it? Oh, my God. Yeah. So, I don't know. All I can say is that I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. I'm grateful that I have a place, and I've heard this in a couple workshops before, that, like, I can come to and I can share those secrets, and people don't look at me like I'm crazy. You know, they don't look at me like I don't get it. They can understand, you know. I can say that because of my ability to share openly and honestly, the help that I've received, you know, I got one. So because I've been able to be honest about things that I struggle with, you know, situations have been occurring in my life to where, like, I've been able to, like, offer help. You know, like, I was struggling because I was feeling like I was the only person, like, in the room in my area that was, like, as sick as I am, right? And it's hard to share in a room full of people who feel like they're working a perfect program. You know, so it's hard to come into a meeting and share that I have 7 years clean and, like, I'm still acting out on character defects. I'm still doing this. I'm still doing that. It's hard to do that. But because of my ability to do that, some situations have occurred, you know. Last year, like, I broke the girl code, and I chose to get into a fuck ship with, like, one of my best friend's ex, newcomer ex, who was in treatment ex. And right, so I made this decision, and as I'm picking him up from treatment and taking him to meetings, I'm telling him, I'm like, look, I was like, it's suggested that you don't get into a relationship in the first year, because, like, you may use, right? And then, like, when my feelings got hurt, and he went back to his, or didn't go back to his girlfriend. I just found out that he had a girlfriend. I was the one that was sitting in the front of the liquor store with 7 years clean. Or it was six at the time. Just, like, trying to, like, play with the idea of whether or not it was a good idea. You know? And so, like, from what I learned from that experience is I was able to, like, approach this friend and, like, tell her what I had done or what I was doing. And although things were rocky at the time, like, she was able to love me through my process and forgive me, and, like, we're still friends today, you know? And so, like, situations have arisen with some similar occurrences happening. Some situations have arisen where, like, some friends of mine have made some decisions to step into relationships like I have a history of, right? And so they're calling me and asking, like, what do I do? You know, they're calling me and saying, like, I don't know how to deal with this situation. I thought she was my friend, you know? And so, like, I'm able to, like, share my experience, strength, and hope. Because I'm going to tell you this. When I would share about this in meetings, nobody would come up to me and say I can relate. Like, I had to, like, try really, really hard. Like, who can I talk to? Right, because, like, 90% of my female friends are in relationships. So, like, am I going to be able to tell them about what I struggle with without them saying, like, I can't be your friend no more, or you can't be around my husband, or, like, you're not allowed in my home? You know, like, so was I able to do that? And so I can tell you, when I was sharing about this stuff, like, I didn't have an experienced member that was sharing about it. I didn't have an experienced member that I could go to and, like, ask for help. You know, I guarantee I'm not the only one that's doing it. You know, I think that's a safe bet. But because of my ability to, like, get honest and get outside of self and not let these secrets, like, tie me down, I've been able to, like, help somebody else. I've been able to, like, you know, like, for real, it's just like using them. Once I put the first one in me, it's off to the races. I have every intention in the world, like that I don't want to do it again. And any of these behaviors, any of them, I'm not just talking about one specific thing. I'm talking about anything that gets me outside of me. And I would say over and over and over again, I don't want to do it again. I'm done this time. Right? And then when I would do it again, I felt like a failure. And I would call my sponsor and I didn't know what to do until, like, I believe it's in the third step. I believe it says we surrender quietly, right? And so, like, that's what I did this time. Like, I didn't tell nobody that I'm not going to do it again. I just didn't do it again, you know, and I surrendered quietly. And that's it's a daily struggle with a bunch of different things. You know what I'm saying? All those secrets that will, like, keep me locked and loaded and, like, want to die clean. But I'm grateful that I grasped onto the concept of, like, getting honest and sharing about where I was at. But because of that, not only has it helped me, but I believe that I've been able to help, like, some other people. I didn't say this in the beginning, but I want to thank the Chesapeake and Potomac region and Dulles Corridor area for asking me to speak. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.